parents' jobs, I think, should be to architect moments for good or towards Jesus, right? Like, I think that's a huge reason we do the biblical holidays and the feasts, is because there's actually psychological and sociological evidence that creating these peak moments and then how they end are things that actually get so embedded into the psyche of the child. Hey guys, welcome to the Real Life Podcast, where we talk about exactly that every single week, real life, which means some episodes might be about a fight we just had, some episodes might be about potty training since we have two toddlers, and some might be about eschatological realism because I love thinking and talking about deep theological things, and maybe we'll talk about all three of those in one episode. But we hope the show feels like hanging out in our living room with us, drinking a cup of coffee as we discuss faith and family and culture and Jesus. Me and my lovely wife, Alyssa, are your hosts, and don't hesitate to hit us up or reach out on social media to say hi or comment on this week's episode. Enjoy. Hey guys, welcome to another episode.
Hey, hey.
Okay, this week.
Happy fall.
Yes, yes. Which I don't know if you guys, if you listen to our episode every week, you already heard I despise fall. Now, I'm grateful to the Lord. I love all the seasons, all those things. But if we're talking just pure aesthetics, fall is like the worst. Fall is the worst. The color schemes, right? It is literally the scale. It's the same color scheme and scale of poop, right? Like literally the spectrum that
you're... Some people like the earth tone.
Here's the thing. The spectrum that your poop can possibly be, depending on if we had fajitas or depending on if we had spaghetti.
Hopefully no one was eating while they're listening to this.
That's the same spectrum that all the fall colors are. We got brown. We got like a burnt orange. We have like a darker yellow. I'm like, why do people like this? Why do people like this season?
Okay, but the season itself is one of my favorites.
But then everything people do like about it, like, I like to cozy up. I like to put on a scarf. Well, that's why winter's awesome though.
But that's like, after Christmas, winter's kind of miserable.
To me, it's just like a weird limbo season. That is like a half version. All the good things about it are in other seasons in a better way.
You're going to have a lot of haters, babe.
The design aesthetics, guys, like people,
haters going to hate. People love fall.
There's a reason we put up our Christmas stuff in October in our family.
That's not true.
Because I'm all about the green and the red. It's not even about Christmas. It's just like, I don't want my house looking poop scale. Okay? I don't want the poop scale spectrum.
But you can avoid the poop by doing creams and that, gold.
No, I don't know. Depending on how much dairy you have, I've seen it.
Stop! I'm so sorry for my husband, everybody. But no, we do not set up for Christmas in October, but we do set up our Christmas tree.
November 1st.
But we're going to do October 1st. But not decorated.
We're going to do October 15th this year, and then next year we're going to do August.
Only because our baby is due. Very, very soon.
Yeah.
So.
What were we talking about?
Well, I'm so sorry for everyone for that poop comment. In Jeff's mind, poop is like a very appropriate thing to talk about 80% of the time. And for most people, it's not at all. So.
And I'm not even trying to be vulgar or gross or crass. It's just like, if it is something that there's 7 billion people in the world today. Imagine how many poops just in this 24-hour cycle.
We gotta stop.
Like, it's so... It needs to be normalized, okay? It needs to be normalized.
We do thank the Lord that we can do those things, because otherwise it'd be very painful.
Yeah.
But other than that, we just need to pull it back, rein it in a little bit, babe.
All right, I'll move on.
Okay, so happy fall.
Huh?
Happy fall.
Okay, guys, like usual, if you're listening to this, don't forget that we also are on YouTube and Facebook. I usually upload the full episodes of the podcast from our home studio, usually within 24 hours of the audio release, which is on Tuesdays. And so usually that video is up on Tuesdays also on my Facebook and YouTube, or on Wednesdays at the latest. We also do Instagram posts on the first day of the release on Tuesday, where we love to have a conversation there based on this week's podcast. So we do a caption based on this week's podcast and a picture, because podcasts are not good at having a conversation. They're good at us talking to you, but we want to hear from you. So Instagram's a great place for that.
Aren't Tuesdays great?
Tuesdays are fun.
Tuesdays are like release days. I remember...
Yeah, music, movies.
Remember back in the day when like CDs would come out, and on Tuesdays you would go to the store, you'd wait in line, go to the store, get your NSYNC CD. Book release days are Tuesdays. Yep. Well, actually, those are Mondays now.
Are they? Or are they Tuesdays? Yeah.
I feel like this week it was all Monday. Anyway, we're off track. So the topic for today
is the power of moments. And the reason I've been thinking about this concept a lot, guys, And even from a parenting perspective, from a life perspective, it's really been blowing my mind, because you guys know I like to just think and think, and I love just chewing on things. And one of the things I've been thinking on lately is moments. Where do they come from? How do they happen? Why do we have them? How can you recreate them? What are they important for, et cetera? And the reason this happened for is, if you're watching on video, you can see this, but if you're on audio, you can't. I'm holding up a book that I just read probably.
Did you finish it?
Yeah, 6 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, called The Power of Moments.
Who's it by?
By Chip Heath and Dan Heath, which they're really big in like the leadership business space. They've written books called Switch and Made to Stick. Made to Stick's amazing, about ideas. So they're, I mean, huge, giant authors that sell millions of books. And I don't know when this one came out. I think this is their newest one, maybe last year. But it's all on the power of moments. That's what the book's called, Power of Moments. And it's an incredible book. Honestly, it was one of my favorite. And this is why I love it. Because it depends on what season you're in. But for me, it was one of the best parenting books I've ever read. And it has nothing to do with parenting. Like, they are not trying to make you better parents. There's maybe a few stories here and there. But in general, it's not even about business or leadership. It's really just about the moments. And it kind of skews towards like businesses, boardrooms, companies, cultures, of how do you just create moments and why they're important. And I think it was such a good parenting book because, and they don't say this in here, this is something that I've been processing since I read it, is this is kind of intimidating to think, but like, it's weird being a parent because now you're in the stage of like, every little moment counts, right? Or like everything counts, right? Like every little training thing, or don't do that, or do this, or you say the same thing over 8,000 times, and then you do this, and you try to make, like, I see it more in the micro of just like every little day has a million little choices and a million little things that we take really serious, and you should. But then I think so it's like this full circle moment. But then I remember when I was a kid, like if I look back on my childhood now, I can really only remember like a couple moments. Now, of course you can remember, like if people start digging and if your parents start asking questions, I'm like, oh, remember when we did this? Remember when we did this? Or how did you do this? Like you can kind of remember your whole life for sure. Like how you did meals and how you did this, blah, 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 right? So you can remember your whole life, but if you just think back on your childhood and kind of just probe it yourself and then think of the definitive moments or the things that made you who you are, or the things that you remember right away and then ask yourself why, it's usually because they were a significant moment, right? That's crazy for me of like, man, that means like all this work we're doing with the kids will form them and will shape them. And there'll be a lot of subconscious like formation. But at the end of the day, they're only going to kind of remember like some moments. That's crazy. So first, talk about that.
We do that too. Like if you think about.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah, like my whole life is just moments. Like,
yeah, or even just like your last vacation. Like you remember a handful of moments. You don't remember all the things.
Yeah, I'll tell a cool example from the book in there in a sec. But I don't know. First of all, isn't that just crazy? That like we don't just remember. Like we're not computers that just have this like perfect highlight reel that's evenly distributed of every year with every day. Like quickly in our Rolodex of our brain. It's like, no, you kind of just remember a couple moments.
Yeah, and they're usually, I feel like, the really hard moments.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Or that's the book really pinnacle moments.
Yep, it does not mean that it's just enjoyable moments. No. We remember the hard ones and we remember the good ones, but the moments. Basically, in the way the book talks about it, it's the things in those moments in time that rise above the noise, right? And he says there's a couple of reasons for that of what makes a moment. But here's one of the first things that I think I realized, or that I kind of stole from the book. Like I love reading across all genres, guys. And I actually weirdly, particularly don't read almost any books in the genre that we write in, which is like Christian nonfiction, like spiritual living, Christian growth, which is kind of hilarious. I don't know why, but like,
It totally makes sense.
I just don't read that many books in the, like, basically the books we write of just like, yeah, Christian spiritual living. Like I don't read a ton of those, like what would you call that? Peer level ones.
Yeah.
I like reading like, and why, I wonder what that is. Is it because I'm more of a researcher?
Well, that
like research based,
but I think it makes sense because if that's your job and you're putting that stuff out, then you have to be reading other things so that you can pour into that realm.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas if you're just reading that realm, you wouldn't have really anything else to add
say.
To it. Or
point.
Yeah, you have to like I feel like Rebecca Lyons reads all these other books, or John Mark Comer. Like I just think of a lot of people in that realm.
That makes sense.
You have to like read other things or New York Times articles or whatever so that you can then write.
But all it was just funny. I just had and so I love reading across these genres, and then trying to really make connections to things that they're not making, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things that they talk about, well, this actual example was a connection that they were making, because it was this was one of the ones on childhood and parenting. But they there was this crazy study, you guys, on the power of moments and how you not fib or not fake, but like you remember moments differently than how the entirety of that moment happened.
Sure.
And this is really fascinating. Okay, so they've done data and science and studies on this. There are science and data on it where and it opens up the book. It's like the second chapter, I think, where they surveyed a bunch of families going to Disneyland. Now, this is hilarious. Okay. And what they did is they got these people to sign up for a survey that were going to Disneyland. And they basically said, okay, we're going to ask you a bunch of questions to rate your day when you're at Disneyland. Now, the way they did it is they surveyed on the day. They had the parents basically report every hour. So if the parents were there from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., then every hour on the dot, so 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 12 p.m., they had to stop and record on a scale of 1 to 10 how that last hour was, just of enjoyability or moment or whatever. Like, it was just, how was it? And then, okay, so like the last hour, you know, we rode this ride and the kids got in a fight. And the food was bad. It was a 4, okay? Next hour, pretty good ride, but, you know, the kids were kind of tired, 6, whatever. So they did that all the way through, and they did this over hundreds of families, okay? And then what they did is they added up all those scores, because what you can basically do is you should be able to assume, this is the premise of the study, you should be able to assume that whatever your average of all those numbers is, so if it's like a 4 and a 6 and a 7 and you add all those up, whatever the average is should also be almost comparable perfectly to what you would say the whole day was, correct? Now, what they did is they added up all those numbers and they added up all those averages, and then a month later or like 3 weeks later, they called all those families. And said, they said, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate your Disneyland trip right now. Was that a fire alarm?
Fire alarm?
Guys, if this keeps beeping, we might have to stop real quick and figure something out. Is it low on battery? If it does it again, that is. Okay, I think we're good.
Okay. So help me, Margaret.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and so what they did is, so then they called him 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, and said, okay, now instead of the hourly, instead of the micro, like you've been, you're back home, you're back in your real life, now rate your Disneyland trip on a scale of 1 to 10. Okay, so the average number that people did on the hourly, oh, frick.
Do you want to fix that?
Yeah, hold on, guys. Okay, guys, we're back. Unless it beeps again, then that'll be hilarious. What I will say is, we branded our podcast so stinking well, because now anytime anything happens, we can just say, well, it's the Real Life Podcast. And that was real life.
Is that not being cut out?
Well, I mean, we'll cut out a little.
Oh.
It's real life. You know what I mean? We don't got to fake it to make it.
Do you ever feel though, like the fire, what do you call those fire alarms?
Yeah, they're very.
They always go off at the most inconvenient time. Oh. Like at our old house, there was one in Kinsley's room. And she was a baby then.
Yeah, and it's like during their nap time.
And it would go off. It went off at least 5 times. And every time it would be at nighttime, like at 9 p.m. And praise the Lord, she never woke up. But Jeff would have to sneak in there and try to fix it. I'm like, why couldn't it be during the day when she's awake, like 11 a.m.?
And they're way harder to like fix and figure out than they should be or like solve.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we were saying is
So Disneyland averages.
Yeah. So what was really fascinating is when they called them 3 to 4 weeks later and then had them give them a number, it was on average 3 points higher. And here's what I mean by that is, so when they surveyed the families on the hourly basis in the middle of the, like in the day they actually did it, like the average was 6, meaning like they, which is hilarious because that's so true, right? Disneyland's awesome. I love Disneyland, man.
It's not like our favorite place, but it's exhausting. The food isn't that great.
Oh, the food is horrendous. They do so many things with excellence. The food, I'm like, bro, like this is really out of character.
It's just kind of like a toddler level food.
Well, I think they probably also know it's sad, but it's like the lowest common denominator of just like hot dogs and mac and cheese kind of can please everyone.
Yeah. That, yeah.
When I'm trying to get a little, you know.
But they do have Starbucks.
Yeah. But anyways, so what's interesting is like a 6, which I think is so right on the dot, right? Like it's enjoyable. It's above 5. So it's like it's above just perfectly, like we could take it or leave it.
I think it's amazing. But then when you throw real life into it, you're like, oh, it's a 6.
Totally. And here's why, guys. And here's why, which is so fascinating. And so then a couple weeks later, a month later, I'd have to pick up and find the book. But basically later when they called back the people and they said, okay, now judge your whole Disneyland trip, not in the micro level.
Later, not the day of?
No, the day of was when they like added up all the numbers from the hourly.
Okay.
Then like a month later, they're back in their normal life. They're back, whatever. They called them and they said, okay, now think back to your trip and give us a scale of 1 to 10 on the whole trip. What? How enjoyable was Disneyland? And the average was 9. So that's really interesting because when you add up the hourly averages the day of, you would think that a month later when they ask for the whole trip, they should be relatively the same.
No.
But a 9 and a 6 is vastly different, mm-hmm. right? And Disneyland is very lucky. And actually very good at being architects of moments. And here's how they got the 9, guys. The reason it was a 9 is you can actually get the 9 from the hourly survey based on this principle that the scientists found called the peak and the end principle. So it's called the peak-end principle. And what it essentially means is they realized that the peak moment, so the best moment of the 8-hour day when like you rode Space Mountain and your hands were up and it was crazy, that was a 10 out of 10, okay? That was a 10 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10. And then...
Or the moment your kid got to meet Mickey Mouse.
Exactly.
And
the peak
like
moment.
Hugged him.
Yeah, the peak moment.
And you got the pictures you've been wanting.
And then the end moment. So how you then leave the day usually is with a souvenir or some type of like Mickey ears or fireworks. And so then that gets put at like a 9 or a 10. Uh-huh. And so when you put the peak and the end of just those two moments together on the average, then it does come out to like a 9.
Totally.
And so it's just, so basically what the scientists found is you 100% after the fact judge the past on the peak end principle, mm-hmm. which means you, that's just so fascinating that like you essentially don't remember anything. You don't remember how crappy the food was. You don't remember how hot it was. You don't remember the lines.
Or you might, but it's super minimal.
Yeah. What you really remember and the thing that actually gets deep into your brain is the peak moment and the end moment, and you smash those together, and that's essentially how you remember it.
The moment.
That's crazy. And I think that can be for good or for bad, too. Right?
Oh, totally.
But that's really, so for me, guys, the reason I call this the best parenting book is maybe they actually didn't make this connection in the, like, saying, like, go do Disneyland more because of this. I'm just saying, like, the connection I made was, like, man, I actually want to, parents' jobs, I think, should be to architect moments for good. Mm-hmm. Or towards Jesus, right? Like, I think that's a huge reason we do the biblical holidays and the feasts is because there's actually psychological and sociological evidence that creating these peak moments mm-hmm. and then how they end are things that actually get so embedded into the psyche of the child, mm-hmm. right? And that's what you want them to take with you. What's sad, guys, is because we have such a neutral, like, parenting sometimes can be so flatline and not even in a bad way, just like it's every day is the same mm-hmm. that it's no wonder that the things that they usually remember or the most shaping moments of their life are parties in high school or a state championship for baseball mm-hmm. or whatever, because those were the moments that rised above. Mm-hmm. And so you want to, as parents, create those moments. Mm-hmm. And guys, it does not take a ton of work. And
or a ton of money.
Or a ton of money. And it doesn't even take a ton of time because you don't do Disneyland every day. Mm-hmm. And I actually don't even think it has to be Disneyland. I just mean in the home. Like, I actually took that principle and said, okay, how can we do stuff like this in the home? And so random holidays, biblical holidays, crazy little traditions with pancakes on Saturday, whatever it is.
Like dance parties at dinner time, yes, clean up.
You want to create moments because those are the things they take with them. They don't take with them just the every single day what you told them. Yeah. They take the moments in the narrative. And the pecan principle is just one of those things mm-hmm. Of doing that. And then there's another one that's really funny that I want to tell, but do you have?
Well, I think too, like if you're not a parent or maybe if you are, but I think too, Young Life or camps do this so well. Yeah. Like they end with a really big night that's super special that the kids are going to remember, and they really play into this moment. And so I think sometimes that's where that like phrase camp high comes from, because it's you've had these really amazing moments and not that the whole week has been a 9, but these moments, the peak and the end, it's they really, and so I think it takes a lot of intentionality
totally
as a person, as a leader. Maybe you do Bible studies, maybe you're in Young Life, maybe as a mom, or you lead a business, those things. I think just having a lot of intentionality to make those moments and to make it be special.
Totally. And this is actually not a part I was thinking of, but I just opened up to a page that actually I remember was really impactful for me. And I've had this belief for a long time of I've studied and researched and thought a long time on how damaging and detrimental the loss of coming of age rituals is in the West, mm-hmm. right? And again, white ethnocentric, like European West, I mean, because some minority cultures do this amazing.
Yeah.
Do this amazing. But that's what I mean when I say in the West, the dominant majority power structure culture of the self-autonomous individual, usually in the white European Anglo-Saxon mm-hmm. realm. That was very long. But that's what I mean when I say that. And we actually like deleting and erasing coming of age rituals mm-hmm. because, again, that's a hindrance on the individual. We don't believe that the individual should submit to any form or sense of community. And coming of age rituals are essentially that. It's mm-hmm. saying you are no longer this. You are this, and now you're a leader in this community, like mm-hmm. a coming of age rituals with male
bar mitzvahs.
Yeah, males are particularly powerful in tribal cultures because that's what it is. It's saying mm-hmm. it's saying you're no longer a consumer. Mm-hmm. You are now a leader in this culture, right? Yeah. Like you were a kid who consumed what we gave mm-hmm. you, and now at 13, you now need to give back to the community.
Well, I think too, America, like we don't grow up till a lot later.
Well, because there's no coming of age rituals.
There's no coming. And so it's like
there's no
18, 25, 30. And
totally.
Where a lot of other cultures, it's like 12, 13,
totally,
14.
Yeah. Bar mitzvah. What's a
I can never say it.
Quinceañera.
Sorry, everybody.
But yeah,
please
but people,
correct us.
People know what we're talking about. And there's multiple, like cultures do this well. Everyone does this well, except for us.
Yeah.
Except for us. And it's crazy how those are actually needed and deeply transformative in people's lives.
Yeah.
And then he talks about this in this book from a psychological, sociological perspective where he talks about there's three situations that he says you need to accentuate and put punctuation on in people's lives and kind of like highlight for actual real, like it's needed for transformation mm-hmm. and for your humanness. And those are transitions, milestones, and pits. And that's what he talks about. And transitions are kind of the one that we're talking about of like, you have to have hard, make moments out of the transitions. Don't let transitions just happen under the radar.
Yeah.
Because that's actually what solidifies them. It's the glue. It there's no longer confusion in people, mm-hmm. whether that's with work, right? Like when you get promoted, that's a transition. There should be a hard moment there.
Yeah.
When you go retire. From malehood or kid to malehood or femalehood in the sense of like adulthood is what I'm trying to say. coming of age, there should be a hard moment there. Retire. There should be a hard moment there. We have those in our life. They're just kind of weaker.
Yeah.
Right. We have basically birthdays and like marriage and some other big ones where it's
baby
just like
showers.
Baby showers. Yeah. But they're kind of
graduation.
There's just a lot. We're not doing all the really big and amazing ones that mm-hmm. I think really. All that to say, this book really made me think of and actually gave me some research to back up why we're a decade away with all of our kids on this, but I strongly believe in like rites of passage for our kids at age 13. And we are going to do that. And
do you
I already
age 13 is the age?
I don't think it's like, I don't think that's some random age. No, like there's a couple.
Like what age would you say for boys and girls?
I'd say like 13 or 14. Yeah. But there's a couple people I know who do this really well. Mark Batterson has a whole book on this and how he's done this with both his son and his daughter, where they get the full year. So they get mm-hmm. the whole year where he basically lets them choose some type of, and again, it talks about this in the book. You have to pick some type of activity or something to mark the transition that is an activity that's just within their reach, but very difficult. Mm. And I think Mark Batterson's with his son was like this insane Grand Canyon hike. I don't even know what it was, but it was like insane miles. They could have died. But you know, you got to know what you're doing. You got to train for it, mm-hmm. et cetera. Just again, for this moment of like, I'm crossing over. You have to take real life. Like God wants to infuse the real life world to match what's happening in the spiritual and in the mental and in mm-hmm. the emotional. Like that's how he works.
Yeah.
That's why everything is tied to something in the scriptures and all the feasts mean something else and all the altars mean something else. And so he does, but you can be creative. It's open-ended, but you've got to do the moments. So Mark Batterson does this good with the 1 year transition with his son and his daughter. I think the book he wrote about that was called like Playing the Man. So he mainly talks about how he did that with his son at 13 or 14. And it was a year long process where he kind of lets them pick what they want to do as like the final finish line. And that one was like the Grand Canyon hike. And with his daughter, he did something with like a iron. They're really outdoorsy, so it's like,
I'm like, they're
iron.
Really athletic.
Yes, it doesn't have to be that at all. Like it can yeah. be, you go drive cross country or whatever, but I think there should be a level of marking the transition mm-hmm. with some, and what are you trying to do? Like what's the transition trying to do? If it's trying to say like you're now into adulthood, so there's more responsibility, then do a moment that gives them responsibility, mm-hmm. right? Or have, like I know for me, I'm already thinking of when they're 13 or 14 holding like an actual pretty formal, serious ceremony where we invite the entire community of like our friends, mm. right? And like speaking over them and maybe writing letters to them or giving yeah. something very, very deeply intentional mm-hmm. and deeply like long lasting, like where it involves letters that they can keep or a Bible that like everyone signs or praying over them, whatever. But I think like, man, these are their aunties and uncles that have lived with them for 13 years and will continue to. I want them to mark that transition of like, hey, you're coming into like what we are now, right? Like we're adults and we're. So there's like examples like that. John Tyson does a really good example of this with his son called The Primal Path, where from 14 to 18, so he basically considered it more about like downloading all he knows about life to his son, like which had such a good premise of like, when you're 35, 45, 50, when you're getting older, like you have a lot of wisdom and you've lived a lot of life. So you need to give it all, like give it all back, right? Like just download it. And so he spent 4 years called The Primal Path, where every morning his son met with him at like 5 a.m. And they just, that was the rhythm they had for their life. And it was like an hour every morning where he just downloaded like every topic known to man and talked about it. And he would post about it on Instagram. It was crazy. Like this morning we talked about Thurgood Marshall and the Supreme Court case of 1954. And we talked about imago Dei means and the image of God. And like just literally every, because he's such a thinker and he thinks about everything and he's so bright. The 4 years he just spent like downloading all that to his son. So you can get creative. But I do think like this book really made me realize that this is deeply important. And I think we should do this in our kids' lives if we have kids. But again, scale it way back down to what we talked about in the beginning of just like moments matter. And there's even moments that we've had that are really bad. And this book talks about too, that how you can actually escape moments that have shaped you in a really deeply bad way and how you can kind of heal from that. But also talked about, good moments and the power of moments. And I just think, yeah, we're a culture that subconsciously chases moments, right? Like Coachella and this and all these things.
I think we're all longing for moments.
Well, we don't, we are built, everyone's built for them.
Yeah.
And it varies to closely tied to story structure too, and like narrative structure. But we don't realize how much we're not doing the really, we're not trying to, we have freedom to architect ones that actually, and shape ones that actually will give us life.
Yeah.
And we don't do that, you know? And even with following Jesus, I think baptism is a huge one. Communion is a huge one. But we kind of either cheapen them or we only do, you know, baptism obviously is only once. So like, what would it look like if we can actually infuse our family and our following and our faith with moments? You know, because again, it's not about just like to have the moment. I think our culture chases moments to have the moment.
Yes.
This book argues it's about the moment because it's actually what anchors down into your soul. Like you, that's just what you remember and what shapes you.
Yeah.
And so like, what would that look like? But what do you have thoughts on that? Moments from your childhood, how they've affected you, moments with the kids. And I talk about micro moments. I feel like you're really good at doing like tiny little moments with the kids. Cause that's too, we don't, we want to make sure people hear that. It's not just some huge blowout every time.
Yeah. Well, let me get, I feel like I'm listening to the podcast and I'm just taking in everything Jeff's saying. And I'm like, oh, those are so good. It makes me think of the future and what moments I want to make with my kids. I feel like Bob Goff is really good at that. Like, if you haven't read, baby, what's that book?
Love Does. Everybody Does.
Thank you. I think he's just so good about making, if you go to a conference of his, he's so good about making moments with his kids. He was so good about making moments. I really look up to him a lot in that. But I feel like just on a day-to-day basis with the kids, and it takes, I want to be, it takes effort and intentionality, but it's, it can be so little. It's not like it costs a lot of money or I have to plan out these big things. It's just sometimes on Sundays, I just have to like write in my journal one to three things that I want to do with the kids. And I think that's probably just maybe more my personality because I really love making things special. I think my mom really made things special growing up. Like on our birthdays, we had a special plate. She always made our favorite dessert. She just always made things really, really special. And so I feel like I've taken that from her and hopefully can do as much as she did. But I just think like for October, I'll write down a list of things I want to do with the kids, like go hike in a forest because it's Maui. So we have to go to our one forest and pick the few leaves that we have and paint them. Yeah. Or I want to make like little music shakers with corn because that's a fall thing, or go to the pumpkin patch. Or like in a week, I'll think I want to teach them how to make a pie because it's fall and I love making pie. Just like really little things like that. And I have to be careful because a lot of times it's not how... Well, I have to be careful when I'm on Pinterest looking for things because then I have this expectation. But if it's just something that
we're not talking Pinterest moments. No. That's not achievable. It never
turns out the way I think it will be. But when I just think of little moments I want to have with the kids, it always is so, so fun. Totally. Even if it's only 5 minutes and everything gets messy, but it's like, hey, we're making a memory here. Yep. Like the time we had to buy a new washer. And so we had this huge box. So I thought, let's just make a plane out of it. And so all week we cut holes in it. I let the kids paint, which was a disaster, but they loved it.
Yeah, and it was a huge moment. We used it for like a month.
Yeah, we put twinkly lights in it. Like, it's just having a little bit, it's just the tiniest bit of intentionality where you can think ahead, so you're not always reacting, where you don't just wake up and
that's good.
You have to like do your to-do list for the day and clean, which is really hard for me as a 9. I feel like I get distracted with you know, oh, the dishes need to be done, and then I'll see something else, and I do that, and I see something else. So it just, for me, it's just taking that little moment in the morning, be like, hey, this is just a very, very small, simple thing that I want to do today with the kids, and if it doesn't get done today, then we'll try for tomorrow. But just super simple. Or like this week, all I had on my list was I want to take the kids to the library on Thursday to get fall books. And I think that's special because we can learn about fall, which we don't have here. So I think just creating those little moments, I feel like as a mom, it fills me up because it kind of gives me like a vision for the week or the day. It's using creativity, and it's something that I can do with the kids that's really fun.
Yeah. And so, guys, we'll end with this. One concept that is, just to make sure you're hearing, it's so easy and on a micro level. We're not talking like blowouts all the time.
Yeah.
But you need to make moments, right? And one of the things I think of is this concept that they talk about. All it sometimes takes is, the phrase they use is breaking the script. That's all they say. And like, there's always, there's all these, no one's talking about them, but there's all these assumed scripts of life. And what that means is just like, this is how this thing is supposed to go.
Yeah.
Right? That's a script. And so it's like, it's just, people do it over and over again. And he talks about the hospitality industry, hotels. And there's this one hotel in LA, which I was telling Alyssa about. It's like the second highest rated hotel in all of LA. And we're talking like at the level of Four Seasons and Ritz-Carlton's and like 5-star hotels. And this is not a 5-star hotel. If you look it up, I forgot the name, but if you look it up, it's like kind of probably 3-star, like not terrible, but like nothing's nice, like just normal linens and normal things and normal service. But it's the highest rated. And he argues because they are insane at making moments. Like their philosophy of hotel is to give you these crazy moments. And so it has nothing to do with the amenities, right? In the sense of like your linens, your towels, your like, the pool's not that nice. It's kind of like older brick and all these things. It's not that fancy, but it's the highest rated because they blow people away because they break the script and give moments. And one of the easy ones they do is if you're at the pool, this one's so sick. If you're at the pool, there's this little like red phone, kind of like those 1950s phones, I think, on the wall. And I think there's a sign above it that says Popsicle Hotline. And what you do is you literally go over there, you pick up the phone, and there's a guy already on it, like live. So it's, I think he must be on, have it on speaker 24/7. And he goes, hello, Popsicle Hotline. How can I help you? And you just order, you order popsicles. You order like grape or cherry or whatever. And then within 2 minutes, this guy in like a butler uniform, because they know that's hilarious, so super nice tuxedo with a white glove, comes and has one of those silver platters, and he opens it up like kind of like the Richie Rich status and has popsicles. Like, that's amazing. And it costs them probably like, you know, $100 of popsicles for the month or something like that. Like, popsicles are so cheap. They're water and sugar and like coloring. But that blows people away. Yeah. It's like this hilarious little moment. And they do a million little things like that. They do something with laundry. I'm trying to remember. That was incredible too. I forgot. I think they do it for free or something like that. Or you just leave and it's folded and has like a nice little, oh yeah. Like, you can drop your laundry off to them and they'll do it every single day for free, folded, dropped at your door with like a something scented, like a little sprig of rosemary or something like that, or lavender. I mean, that's like, it's like stuff like that. Like, that's just crazy moments, yeah, right? And they know that they can just take a little bit extra of their cash and funnel it to making all these moments. And then all of a sudden they're the best rated in LA, which is insane. So stuff like that, I'm like,
think of on
that's
our,
breaking the script of, yeah, like, look for ways to break the script. And real quick, one little way to do that at home that I think Alyssa's good at, which I was going to say, is like, break the script. Like, if you have eggs and toast every single day, then on Saturday, break the script by making a Mickey Mouse chocolate chip pancake, right? Or if your kids are super, I'm super stoked to do this because we're really religious about our bedtimes, but they're not old enough yet, of like, we're religious about 6:30 every night, bam, 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 schedule. So then when they're maybe 5, 6, 7, or 8, we can stretch them a little bit more with sleep. Then we're going to do that. And then all of a sudden Saturday, I'm going to come into Kinsley's room at 7:30 when she's sleeping and say, hey, wake up, let's go get a donut or whatever it is. Right. Like, mm-hmm, there's these, like, it's breaking the script. That's not the normal way to do things, mm-hmm, but it's tiny, they're cheap, and you can do them.
Or I just think on our Sabbath, we have a big dinner, and then we put our hands on the kids, and each of us bless the kids with numbers
22 through 27, the Aaronic blessing. Yes.
And we tell it to them, and I got that idea from a mentor of mine who would tell that to their kids every night before bed. And I just feel like that's a moment that you remember as a child. Yeah. Like, not only is it great because you're blessing your kids, which is so important, but it's this moment where they're going to remember, like, I was blessed every night, or singing a special song, or those things are so, or I remember even.
And we're breaking the script, because that's not normally what people do at dinner, right. At least in America.
I remember in eighth grade, when my art teacher would order donuts every Friday, and he would save 3 of them for my girlfriends and I, and we would sneak into his class and he would give us a donut. Like, those are moments that I remember that are so simple, but it's just being a little step above, like a little creative, a little intentional.
I like what you said. It doesn't take a ton of money, doesn't take a ton of effort. And in fact, it usually doesn't take really, it's a low version of all those things. What it does take is just a little bit above intentionality, so that you're not reactive.
Yeah.
You just have to kind of be a little bit ahead to do that. And so I think trying to structure things where you can do that is really, really awesome. So,
yeah.
Guys, this was a fun episode. Hopefully it was kind of random, because we were just rambling about what we liked about the book and the stuff and how we're processing it.
But hopefully it helps you just think of things.
Yeah, but this will be a cool conversation, I think, on the Instagram that week, because we're processing it out loud right now too, and thinking through it and how we can do this in our life. And so, yeah.
Sorry, one more thing. Yeah. I even was thinking, when I was in college, I went to college just 20 minutes north of LA. And on Fridays, once in a while, like once a month, my girlfriends and I would go down to Diddy Reese and get an ice cream sandwich. And it was like literally like a dollar. And we would, but it was so fun to get away, to drive. It was 10 o'clock at night. Like, even if you don't have a family and you're in college or you're single, making those moments with people that stand out and that's fun and that you look forward to and you remember, you look back, you're like, oh yeah, remember when we used to always do that? Or those are really fun things.
And I think actually, guys, we're pretty routine people with our family. You kind of have to be with toddlers.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually on purpose, because I think the small micro routines are what shape you, but then they also give you a really good launching pad for making moments, because everything's pretty steady.
Yeah.
So then you can just pop up for the moment, pop up for the moment. I think that those go hand in hand really well. So, all right, guys, we love you guys. Have a great week. Hop in on our Instagram posts and let us know what you thought about this week. We'd like to have a conversation there. It's too hard to have a conversation on podcast. We'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. And yeah, have a good rest of the day.
Yeah.
Take care.